Tell you what I want to do with this year. It'll sound at first like a pure halacha shir in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, which is in itself not bad. It's a wonderful thing to do. But I'm doing it for another reason. I want to show how his methodology was later used, and he needed that for a particular ideological point, which has nothing to do with Zionism, etc. It has to do with the Anschauung, but which showed in what way he was different and unique than all other, you can say all other Mitnagdi Gedolim. Because the fact is, of course, Rav Soloveitchik is great. And those of us who had the schus to learn with him and read him and study him, I'm a student, I'm postulatus, but it was a kind of, it was unique. And I'm not going to speak of his greatness, but you'll see at the end, only at the end, after we go from the Shia, what his life circle was. Because the question was asked, do you have a sheet? Have I heard? Maybe you need a sheet for this. The question was asked, what was Rav Soloveitchik's greatness? Somebody once asked me. I'm not going to tell you. I couldn't answer that. Of course, he was great. He knew Shas Upaskim. You know, Rav Futner once said, you know, Rav Futner, who was another Shiva, told me, you know that he knows Kol HaTorah Kula. He knows the whole Torah. And so on and so forth. That wasn't his greatness. And neither was his greatness that he said the best shurim in the world and so on and so forth. And neither his methodology. Because his methodology, of course he knew it all, but essentially his methodology was taken from his father and grandfather. What was that methodology a little bit? I don't know if I can even describe it now. Later it'll be better. His methodology was partially in learning that you could look at something at two different levels, and therefore many answers came. For example, we all know it's a middays and mitzvah. This I'm not even mentioning. This simple introduction, one or 2 minutes. Take the concept of there's a mitzvah of destroying chametz. So what is the basic mitzvah? Do I, the person, have a mitzvah of destroying chametz like I have a mitzvah like eating matzah or putting on tefillin? Oh, really, there's no mitzvah on me. The halacha is that when Pesach comes in, I have to make certain that there's no chametz in the world. Why? So you can tell me, what's the difference? But I'll have to destroy chametz. There's a major difference. The difference is like this. If, let's assume, comes the Erev Pesach and I cleaned everything out, and there's not a crumb of bread in the house, if the halacha is that I have to make sure that when Pesach comes in, I don't have to destroy chametz, I should be free of chametz, then I don't have to do anything. If on the other hand, there's a personal mitzvah like putting on tefillin, so when I'm free, you know what I have to do? And if I didn't leave over crumbs, then I have to make certain to go to the store before 10 o'clock in the morning, whatever the time is, and buy a chametz and destroy it. So you think that's small, petty, halachic issues. We'll soon see that it's not so petty, and it's not so halachic, and it's not so minute. But in other words, there was always a bifurcation. They called it in Yiddish, two dinim. And this was started by his grandfather, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the rabbi of Brisk in 1880. What he added was something else. We'll come to what he added. We'll see if you understand. And then a 1 minute to show you what he wanted to do with that. 5 minutes maybe. So let's do beginning. Always the locale of Rav Soloveitchik, what he loved most, was the Rambam. If you have a time, you'll see how he read Rambam. And even at the beginning, you'll see that nobody read a Rambam like him. Nobody. But let's start. And I've chosen the Mitzvah Saseh of Tshuva to begin with because there will be other things just to see a certain development. And then we'll come to then. So let's begin. You know what Tshuva is? Everybody knows. What is Tshuva? Tshuva is repentance. comes the Rambam and says in number 1a, mitzvahs asay achas, there is one mitzvah asay, there is a positive command, that the person should repent, should do tshuva, v'yitvadeh. So what is the mitzvah? And he shall confess. It's not enough to repent. What does repentance mean? I did X, I'm sorry for doing X. But v'yitvadeh means it's not enough to say I'm sorry for doing X. I have to confess. I have to say alcheit shechatasi lefanecha be'X. Correct? So that's what Rambam says in the heading. Now I want to correct and precise reading of number 1b. Kol mitzvah shebetorah, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, bein aseh bein lo taseh, whether positive or negative, im ovar adam al achat mehem, if a person transgressed one of them, I didn't put on tefillin or I was mechalel Shabbos, Dein bezadon ben bishgaga, willingly or accidentally. I want the translation of the next phrase. Kishe yase tshuva v'yashiv mechato, chayav litvado lifnei ho'el baruch. What's the translation? Kishe yase tshuva. What is that? Does he have to do tshuva? It's exactly. It's an open fresh. Maybe he doesn't have to do tshuva. But on top he said you have to do tshuva. But he says, Chayav, what is he obligated to do? Lehitvados, he has to confess. So it's tshuva mitzvah. Or maybe the Rambam was mechadesh, the tshuva isn't a mitzvah. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense at all. The mitzvah is vidui, confession, but there's no mitzvah of tshuva. Kishe yase tshuva, this lady read right. Kishe yase tshuva means, you know, if I wake up in the time and I'm in the mood, then I'll do tshuva. I have to confess, but I don't have to do tshuva. Correct? Huh? The same thing as what? If you do choose to tshuva, that's right. But, okay, if I choose, but I don't have to choose. Okay. Then I only have to do vidui. I'm not the only one who reads it. Most Achrayim read it that way. Except Rav Sof. Yeah, chayav litvadot. Like, remember, in the Tapi also says, when he does v'yitvadeh, vidui is something separate. Because vidui is, you know, with a mouth. That's right. Fine, okay. So there's a problem. But the fact is that it's an impossibility to create a model, the full psukim of tshuva, the beautiful parsha Yashuv Hashem Eshvischa, the parsha tshuva in Vayelech, what we read before, tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, it's absurd to say that tshuva is not. But now let's go to something else. Number two, Talmud Bavli Kiddushim Emtes. This is a question that's asked by all Achronim, and a good answer they don't have. Somebody gazed over with a woman, something I discussed in the morning, and he says, you are married to me, almanachi ani tzadik. I marry you on the condition that I am a tzadik. You know, you could marry on condition. You know that. There's conditional marriages. So the halacha is, afila rasha gamur mekudeshet. Even if it's a rasha gamur, she is mekudeshet. I go over to a woman, you married to me on the basis that I am the Chofetz Chaim, yeah. And I am not. She's still Mekudeshet. Why? Shema hirher tshuva belibo. Maybe he was thinking tshuva. What's the problem with that? Where's the vidui? He said before in two places that you need vidui. Yeah, tshuva is a mitzvah, tshuva is not a mitzvah, we don't even know yet. But this is definite that he said you need vidui. There was no vidui. Huh? So what do you say to that? Wait a second. V'yisvade. Mitzvah hushe yoshiv v'yisvade. Here, in 1b. Chayav lehitvadot. It is chayav. Without the vidui, there is no tshuva. Chayav lehitvadot. And specifically, he doesn't mean that. That's if you read Kishayasa Tshuva different. But if you Kishayasa Tshuva is not dependent, Tshuva is dependent, I don't have to do Tshuva. And the only thing I have to do is Vidui. No, no, not the Tshuva Gemara. What are you saying? Okay, okay, okay. A little bit you say what he said in the one answer in 1937. He said as follows. He said that you become a non-Russia just by Hirhur. Just by thinking you become a non-Russia. I'm a mailer for the Kedushin, it's okay. But then he said something much different. So let's wait till he said it. In order to understand that, let's go to the end. We'll come back soon. The very end, number 6. But before that, I must ask you a question. You know the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer? You know the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer after Pesach we count 49 days? Yeah. So I want to ask you a question. How many mitzvahs, when you finally count the end, how many mitzvahs will you have had? Why 49? Why? Prove it to me. You can prove it to me. No, you have to tell me a little better. You're saying correct, but because each day you what? You make a bracha. Each day you make a bracha. So obviously the mitzvah is 49 mitzvahs. But what should I do? Let's look in number 6. That's fine. That's most Rishonim we've answered beautifully. But let's go to number 6. Number 6, you don't have to study inside. There's the Halachas Gedolos. The Halachas Gedolos says that there's only one mitzvah. When I counted 49, I have one mitzvah. But there's no mitzvah every day. What's the problem with the Halachas Gedolos? How do you make a bracha every day? How do you make a bracha every day? Comes along Rav Soloveitchik and creates one of his, not his father's and not his grandfather's, his bifurcation. He says as follows. Every mitzvah, I shouldn't say, most mitzvot consists of two aspects. One aspect is what he calls the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, the act of the mitzvah, correct? I eat matzah, I have an act of mitzvah. What's the fulfillment of the mitzvah? By having swallowed it. Okay, sometimes it's not so easy to bifurcate. So he says as follows. A ma'aseh ha-mitzvah you have every day. You count every day, like you said. So the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah they have every day. The Bahag holds that no. At the end, you'll have one mikiyum ha-mitzvah. But the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, how many ma'aseh ha-mitzvahs do you have? 49. So you make a bracha every day. Because a bracha you make not on the kiyum ha-mitzvah, on the plain fulfillment of the mitzvah, a bracha you make on the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. So yes, you make a bracha every night, even according to the Bahag, into the Halachas Gedolos. Why? Because the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, the first night, the second night, the third night. Yes, I don't have a kiyum, but you don't make a bracha on kiyum. That's his yisayt. Built out of this Bahag. Do you understand so far? Because if you don't understand, it'll be difficult, but that bifurcation between ma'aseh ha-mitzvah and kiyum ha-mitzvah is one of his important contributions.
Why should you make a bracha on the ma'aseh if there's no kiyum?
Uh-huh.
The question is, why should you make a bracha on the ma'aseh when there's no mitzvah?
Because you will soon see, I'll ask you, you will soon see why. I can, you know, because you draw to that also. Because tell me, when a ma'aseh is done, where is the ma'aseh? Where do I do the ma'aseh? I'll give you that example. You know of another mitzvah like that? Huh? Kedushin. Kedushin is Kedushin. No, eating matzah is together. The ma'aseh mitzvah and the kiyum mitzvah is together. The eating is when I come and the act is done when it's in my stomach and that's my stomach. Give me another mitzvah, not Kedushin. Kedushin is two separate things. Nesuin and Kedushin, but the who tells you that Peri Veriviya is an act of Kedushin? Without Kedushin, you can't have Peri Veriviya.
Nice
Amitsa Peri Veriviya, okay. All right. Let's go to something stronger. Give me an example where there's a mice. Tell me, Chaver, we daven every day. What's the mice ha-mitzvah of tefillah? What's the mice ha-mitzvah of tefillah? The mice ha-mitzvah is to stand and bend, etc., etc., etc. All the things that confuse us, where we bend, etc. What's the key? What's the full fulfillment? I'll say everything, but in my doing my whole Shemin Esther from A to Z, I'll think about my stock market. I'll have a kiyum of tefillah. Kiyum of tefillah, you must know that you're before God. A consciousness, an awareness. So the ma'aseh is indeed saying Baruch Ato, mumbling Baruch Ato. What's the kiyum ha-mitzvah? Knowing that you say this before God. Can you give me another example? Analogous to tefillah? Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema. What does Kriyat Shema mean? Tell me, I say Kriyat Shema, but without knowing that I accept God upon myself. It's absurd. So the words, the Kriyat HaParsha, it's a parsha that you have to read, is the Ma'isa Mitzvah. The Kiyum Mitzvah is the awareness, Hashem Echad, with whatever it means philosophically and theologically. Correct?
Is it correct? I'm not sure you're right.
Why not? You're using a wrong term. You should excuse me. We use davening for the whole siddur. Davening is only the Shemin Esrei. Kriyat Shema and tzitzis is tzitzis and psukim zimri is psukim. We call it davening. But what is davening halachically? Only the Shemin Esrei. Please, that's very important. Now I'll show you something else. I'll show you something from halacha that we all know and we never understand. And everybody, okay, first lesson, two lines of Gemara. Avel eino noheg avelos avich. Rachmanel son, we know what avelut is, yes? And avelut never takes place on Yontif, correct? Shabbos, yes, but Yontif not. What does it mean? Because if the death and the burial occurred before Yontif, the minute Yontif came, it breaks avelut, correct? And if the death occurred on Yontif, you wait till after Yontav and you have 7 days. But Yontav is never a day of Avilut. Am I correct here? What's the issue of Yontav? What's the problem? Why can't there be Avilut on Yontav? How would you explain ourselves? Why is there no Avilut on Yontav? There's a mitzvah what? There's a mitzvah of Simcha. So the mitzvah of Simcha and the mitzvah of Avilut contradict each other. Is it really so? Start thinking. How? I'll ask you a better question. Tell me, is there an Isser to sit on the floor on Yontav? No. You want to go without shoes on Yontav, is there a prohibition? No. What's the expression of Simcha on Yontav? What's the expression of Simcha on Yontav? Eating meat and drinking wine. May an ovel eat meat and drink wine? An einan can, but an ovel can. So why is there a contradiction? Let him sit on the floor and let him take off his shoes. And he'll have a suda of wine and basar and he'll be yaitzabot. Why is it such a contradiction? So what must you say? You have your hands up? Okay. The mitzvah of Avelut, the maise of Avelut, in his terminology, is sitting down on the floor. The maise of Avelut is taking off his shoes. But what's the kium of Avelut? The kium of Avelut is feeling the sense of loss, feeling the tragedy, feeling the emptiness in the house that your best and finest isn't here anymore. And likewise, the maise simcha is drinking wine. The Maise Simcha is what? Eating meat. But what's the Kiyum? The Kiyum that Yontav is a day that I am before God. Yontav is Lifnei Hashem. Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokechem. That I am conquering the world because I have the Zchus to be before God. Are these two Kiyumim contradictory? Of course they are contradictory. The sense of frustration, the sense of loss, the sense of tragedy, and the sense of Simcha are two separate things. Now I want to ask you something. Now you can answer the question that I want to ask earlier. Where does a maase take place and where does the kiyum take place? Maase is an action and the kiyum takes place in your heart, in your mind. Okay? That's always the kiyum. Just to show you one more place and almost, I want to show you something interesting. Just to show you how, when he says that he saw it, it's all over Shas. I could make that cheer, but one more. Tell me, on Sukkot, we have a problem with taking the asterisk, no? What problem do we have with the four minim? What problem do we have with taking the four species? What do we really do, people? When we first take these four in the hand, we all do that. You all know it. You'll kick yourself if I tell you. So come on, think. You move it around. Why do you move it around? Why do you move the Esther ground first upside down? You don't want to be Yaitzah. You don't want to be Yaitzah. So you don't want to be Yaitzah because the minute you pick it up, you're Yaitzah. So you don't want to be Yaitzah and the brach has to be made before. Correct? So you move it up and then you're like, I think this is the whole big Taisa I'm telling you that. Taisa says there's a better way if you want to maximize. Take all the four minim correctly. Have in mind that you don't want to do the mitzvah until you make the bracha and you'll have your cake and eat it too. You don't have to make kunsen upside down, not upside down, etc., etc. You'll take it, you have in mind, a Jew has in mind not to be yoitzeh mitzvah, he can do that, correct? If I have in mind not to put on tefillin, I'm not yoitzeh. So let me have in mind I don't want to be yoitzeh mitzvah and let's take it and let me make then the bracha. But Sofsovitchi has an answer to Taisus. He says very beautiful. He says, no. He says, remember we said, a bracha you make a maase ha-mitzvah. So if I have in mind not to be yoitzeh till the end, the maase ha-mitzvah, the act I will have done. What will be lacking? The kiyum. On the kiyum alone, you don't make a bracha. That's what we said before with Tzvi HaTaim, etc. Remember? Okay. Now let me show you where it's somewhere else. That's the question, whether if he say, those who say al-mitzvah is lulav, maybe that's the machloike. Now I want to show you something very interesting. Think of the Seder. It goes all over. Kol HaTorah Kulo. Let's leave the rest. Okay. Before we go there, I sort of want to tell you something. We spoke of Sfirah Soma. What kind of mitzvah is Sfirah Soma? What do we say after the we counted Sfirah? We say one sentence. All the big sentences, I know, but I never say, but one sentence everybody says. Not Vinam. Huh? Okay. Yiskolonu avodat beit hamikdash. Why do we do that? Because it's a mitzvah of Zeche. Define a little bit the mitzvah of Zeche to me. What does it mean, Zeche? Now listen. The Rambam says like this: in Halacha Yud Gimel, number 5, number Yud Gimel. Hacharoses mitzvah midevrei sofrim. Zecher letit sheyoyv debimsaim. It's a mitzvah midarabanan. The Rambam holds it's a mitzvah midarabanan. And tell me, if it's a mitzvah midarabanan, what would you expect? What do we do with mitzvah midarabanan before we do that? What would you expect? A bracha. Rambam doesn't say that. The ketad oisin oiso. How do you do it? So like in tamarim by greigris at simukin, v'darisin oisin. You crush it. Umetablin oiso betablin. Because it should look kamo titvev and it should be like mortar. And then Rambam says something. Umevin oto al hashulchan beleil ha-pesach. What's Rambam say here? What's difficult? Tell me. The Rambam has to tell me, make sure, don't make the charoses and leave it in the refrigerator, chas v'shalom. Does the Rambam has to tell me, halacha, the rational Jew? What's the Rambam saying? Nobody asks us except the Rav. What does it mean, umlevi nice al shulchan? Rambam doesn't waste words. You wouldn't think that? If the Rambam doesn't say Mevino Isha Shulchan, you wouldn't bring it to the table. What would you do with it? You were accustomed to leave it in the kitchen?
You have to eat it whenever you want to eat it.
Like that he doesn't say already. That he doesn't say. So the Rambam says the Mevino Isha Shulchan. So what's the Rambam saying? So tell me what you say.
Huh?
Obviously, the night of Pesach to the Seder.
Yeah, but the rest of the stuff you put on the table before Pesach.
What are you talking about? When do you have the matzahs on the table, sir? When do you have... You put it when you put it, but when do you eat it? The night of Pesach, no?
When do you make the matzah?
When you make the matzah.
Yeah. So when you make the process, on Pesach or on the Pesach?
Whenever I make it, When do I use it? What does he mean you don't have to eat? I use a frame of reference. Time to look. Well, the Rambam says like this. Don't think that charoses is like matzah that you eat. Like maror that you eat. And there's a ma'aseh mitzvah. Charoses is pure zecher. It's not a ma'aseh mitzvah. It's nothing more to bring it. It should be a zecher. It should be. And what is the halacha that's pure zecher? Something that's pure kiyum? What is it? No bracha. That's why, even though it's mitzvah midivei sofrim, and the Gemara seems to be saying that it's a mitzvah midivei sofrim, you have to make a bracha. Comes along the Rav and says, no. If it's pure zecher, you don't make a bracha. Okay? So the Rambam says, it exhausts itself in not eating. It exhausts itself in having brought to the table and pure remembrance. Now I want to tell you something that
what do you do with the
rice? Wait, tell me the rice of Zecher. Really? Bismana Zecher is the rice?
No, it's a Zecher.
A Zecher, it's not a Zecher. It's a Zecher of a Zecher. That's a very good question. That question is asked by the Baal HaMoer at the end, the last Baal HaMoer, the last Rebbe Zecharachya Halevi in Pesachim. And soon I'll tell you an answer, if you want to. I wasn't going to speak about it, but since you asked it, it's a very good question. The Baal HaMoer asks another question. How come you don't say Shechayanu? So the Baal HaMoer answers, because on the Rabbanans we don't say Shechayanu. You understand that answer? Show me that he's wrong. Huh? Hanukkah, Purim. I'll tell you what he means in a minute. I want to tell you something else, and then we'll finish the first part. Second part, you'll see. I hope you'll see. I said with the Rav something very interesting. There's something else we do at the Seder. We eat korech. Correct? What is the korech? The so-called sandwich with the maror and matzah. Except before that, we say Horachmon Hu Zecher LeMikdash Ki Hillel, Kein Asa Hillel. It's a remembrance to the Mikdash Al Hillel, Kein Asa Hillel, etc., etc. You know, we misnag them. Okay, let's go Korach. How do we? What's the order? Let's go. We eat matzah, maror, and Korach. And everybody says that you don't have to. You shouldn't speak between them. Why not? Because matzah is matzah and maror is maror. Obviously, we don't speak. Why can't we speak? Because the korech. Because we don't know. Maybe the mitzvah of matzah is with the korech, or maybe the mitzvah of maror is with the korech too. So we shouldn't speak. It's one unit. Ask the Mishneh Berurah. Mishneh Berurah has two sections. One is the Mishneh Berurah, the Psak Halacha, and one is the theoretical thing. So you ask the question: what's happening here? How could you say Zecher LeMikdash Ki Hillel? That whole prayer, it's a hefsek. I speak in between. And he says the truth is that all Haggadahs are making a mistake. It's not, it shouldn't say, and now you say Zecher LeMikdash. He says, the reason we eat Korech is Zecher LeMikdash. You shouldn't say it. And he doesn't have an answer. So he makes a mistake of all the Haggadahs. So I say that with the Rav, it's not a mistake. Korech is Zecher LeMikdash. If it's Zecher LeMikdash, it's pure what? It's pure kiyum. If it's pure kiyum, it doesn't need a bracha. So the bracha, it's not like the matzah has to go on the matzah of the korech and the maror has to go on the maror of the korech. Correct? So you... Huh? Okay. So I want to tell you, a very good question. I want to tell you, if people ask me, I say that you don't have to eat the kazayis. And if you don't have to eat the kazayis, it's only zecher. Because you don't believe in me. But I believe it. And that's the pshat in the Rav. And that's the pshat. You answer the mishnah. With the Rav, I've answered it. Because maybe without that, it's nothing. But en hochanama, I had questions. I'm struggling about it. But that's the answer to the Mishnah Berurah's question. That we take and say it. And we say it because it's Zeche. Sfiras Homer, it's ganz possible that those of us who hold, now that's a stretch, but those of us who hold that Sfiras Homer is the Rabbanan, your question, and that's how you answer the Baal HaMoyer. Since it's a Rabbanan, you don't have to repeat the whole mitzvah. We only do it because they did it. So it's not a concept of Shechayanu. We make a bracha because they did it. If that is the Zeichel HaMikdash, and if that's the Zeichel HaMikdash, it's a stretch, yeah, but it's possible. According to the Rav and Hachanama, you don't have to count with a bracha. Okay. Fine, so that's what Rabbi Yeshiva was Mechadesh, and that's one of his classical chidushim in halacha. According to the Baal HaMoyer, you check the Baal HaMoyer. I'd love to see it inside, but you know the machine didn't have the Baal HaMoyer, and it says the Baal HaMoyer's lashon is like this. How come there's no Shechayanu? So he says because it's only Midei Rabbanan, it's only Zeichel HaMikdash. So what kind of thing is only Midei Rabbanan? Yeah. Oh, give it to me. Oh, you can. I trust you. You can read it too. So why did the Rav create that kind of dichotomy of Maisei and Kiyum? Because on the Halacha, after all, there was a lot of criticism. At the end of the Isha Halacha, he has a statement. I've written this piece of Isha Halacha, this essay on Isha Halacha, for those who don't understand the nature of the Halacha and its etiology. For those who don't understand what halacha is all about, I've tried to explain whatever I say is not new, but I've taken it from my father, my grandfather, etc., etc. What was not understood about the halacha? What was always the critique of the halacha, beginning with Christianity, was what? That the halacha is nothing more than behavioral. That halacha is nothing more than an action. The spirit, the letter of the law without the spirit of the law, that comes from Christianity. If we jump centuries to the Haskalah, what was it? The Haskalah, come on. Musar, Hasidus. You know, when Reb Chaim wrote his piece, and it came out in 1935, 33, his sefer, and it said that Tfilah must have an awareness of Hashem. People used to say, we didn't know that in Lithuania they know how to daven. Because Reb Chaim said it's important to daven b'kavana. Because everybody, Chassidim thought of that too, that there is no life, there is no thing. There's a fantastic short story by Yud Lamed Peretz. Yud Lamed Peretz died in 1915. It was a great... This is from an English translation of Maurice Samuel. And you should read the whole story. The story goes around a person... Soon you'll find out who that person is, who was the best student of Rav Soloveitchik's great-grandfather, the Brisker Rav, the original Brisker Rav, Rabbi Yeshiver, after whom he is named. And it speaks about the fact that this best student of Brisk left the Beis Halevi, and woe and behold for the Lithuanian, he became a chassid. Not only he became a chassid, he became a rebbe. And... Peretz describes between two cliffs. Why did that new Rebbe leave Rabbi Yoshe Ber, the original Rav. So he says, a woman was in a tzare, I'll start in the middle, and she wanted the Rebbe to pray. Shmaya, he said to me, what do you want me to do for this woman? I will pray. Rebbe, I beg, give me something for her, a note, an amulet, a coin, you have blessed, anything at all. That might only make matter worse. God forbid, where there is no faith, such things are harmful. What was I to do? We were at the beginning of Sukkot. I could not return to the house. I decided to stay with my Rebbe. I needed no invitation. I was familiar. The report from Yechiel were not reassuring. The bird pangs had lasted 3 weeks and nothing happened. And finally she gave birth, but a lot of pain, etc. And he who saw that, his Rebbe acting that way, that Rebbe, Reb Arel, the Chassid. And when he was asked, why did you leave me? I said, because I remember that day, Rebbe. You were brilliant. The shiurim were fantastic. But ultimately, it was very dry. You didn't care about them. Because you didn't care about the simple people. And I'd rather be with people in the Gehenna than alone with my knowledge in the Gan Eden. And that's why, Rebbe, I left you. Who was that? Okay. And it says the whole story, the whole thing. And Rav Soloveitchik knew of that story. And he wanted to show that misnagdim have heart. And that, the difference between the maisa and the kiyum, which is in the heart, which is in the head, that's what moved him. That's what moved him. Ultimately, Peretz died in 1915. In 1958, the grandson, the granddaughter of the Beis Halevi, of Rabbi Yoshe Ber, Rav Soloveitchik's daughter, married the grandson of the student who left him, Professor Tversky, and that's how they came together. But ultimately, Rav Soloveitchik wanted the kiyum and the maisa, because that's how he felt he can defend Yahadis.